Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome along to this Racing Pacecast. I'm Sam Laurie in the studio with Nick Watts. We've got Tom Siegel and Paul Binfield on the line. Lots to get through this week. There's been a bit of a big race in France over the weekend. The Arc de Triomphe, we'll be discussing that. Also, the rest of the undercard at the newly opened Paris-Longchamp. Also, the action at Newmarket last weekend. And again, looking ahead to the action there this weekend, the Dewhurst Stakes and the Cesarich headlining the card on Saturday. But Nick, we'll get started. What a race. The Arc de Triomphe in Able, Sea of Class. What did you make of it?
Yeah, like you said, it was a fantastic finish. I thought for a moment, half a furlong out, the Sea of Class was going to get there. And Able looked as though she was gasping for the line. And, you know, opinion has been divided since then. I think it's fair to say on social media and the like about whether James Dore rode a good race or a bad race. I think if you'd swapped the draws over, you probably would have got a different result. I think Enable, she broke well. She was in the perfect sit. She had a good draw. She was in an ideal situation. Sea of Class, she's a hold-up filly. She was drawn 15.
She didn't have a hard luck story coming through, though, did she?
Yeah, and, you know, she could have been ridden closer to the pace, I suppose, but it's an easy game in hindsight. And they did all their homework beforehand. They spoke to Lester Piggott, Maureen Haggis was saying, and she asked Lester what he would do. Yeah. And he said, look, you just got a rider for luck and hope that it goes in your direction. It's tricky. And, you know, there's a big experience edge as well for Enable. She'd obviously been there and seen it and done it. And Sea of Class, she's obviously just made her debut this year. Looking back through her win, she'd never faced more than 9 rivals in her life. So this would have been a bit of a culture shock for her, and I think she emerges with huge credit as well. I'm personally not one who wants to have a dig at Doyle or anything like that. I thought he did what he could with the cards that he was given. And Enable, she may have lucked out a little bit because she obviously wasn't her best. John Gosden said that afterwards and said that we didn't know at the time, obviously, but had a little hold-up from her, exactly, between Kempton and the Arc. And it's not ideal to come into a race like this being injured all year and then coming back with a small field, you know, Group 3 win at Kempton, you know, about a month ago. It's far from ideal. The hold-up wouldn't have been ideal either, so we didn't see her at her best, but, you know, it says a lot for her class and, you know, great, you know, just great placement from Frankie, knowing where to be and what to do at the right time, etc., to just have enough in the tank to beat Sea of Class. But I think both emerged with huge credit, and I'm not going to have a go at Doyle. I don't think he's done much wrong there.
Yeah, it was looking pretty desperate by the line, wasn't it, with Frankie and Enable. Tom, what did you make of the ride on Sea of Class? Are you happy to go along with Nick's view on it?
Half. I thought they made life too difficult for themselves, if I'm totally honest with you, Sam and Nick. I thought that I have watched 37 arcs now. I've never seen a horse come from last to first up the inside. Now, they nearly got very lucky. They nearly did it. So therefore, it's hard to say it was a desperate decision they made. I just thought that in hindsight, you know, everything's in hindsight, but I've never seen an arc won the way they tried to win an arc. And just because it was a bad race, it turned out to be, I think. I don't think it was the greatest renewal ever. And Enable, as John Gosden said, wasn't at her best. She nearly got away with it. She got a perfect run through, as you said there, Sam. So they nearly got away with what I would consider a bad tactical decision. So therefore, in terms of rides, if that's what they've decided to do, then they performed their plan to perfection. I have a problem with the plan, not with the ride. I think trying to
what
win.
What do you think they should have done? Got I think they a bit should handier. Have
ridden, well, like One Master, they won the Foret about a half an hour later. I know Pierre Charles Boudot was riding One Master, but she was in trap 15. She was in exactly the same stall over 7 furlongs. They didn't ride her the same way. Now, I always think that when you're... Problem with riding a race in the Arc is it's such an important race. And my guess is that Connections were agonising over what to do for days. You know, as soon as the draw came out, they probably spoke to everyone, what should we do, what should we do? And they made their decision. I personally don't agree with the decision because I don't think you can win Arcs like that. They nearly did, so clearly nearly can. Mm. But that was the decision they made, and they stuck with it, and they nearly came up smelling the roses. So I'm not going to sit here and say what they did. I just think it asked too much of her. That was what I would say. And they nearly got away with it because Enable was about £10 below form. But an informed Enable, she would have got nowhere nearer.
Yeah, well, hopefully we will have a rematch next year. Paul, have you got prices for next year's Arc?
Yes, I have, Sam. First of all, Enable is 6-4 on for the Breeders' Cup turf now, having been 7-4 before yesterday's scintillating performance for the Arc next year. If we make Enable a 4-1 favourite, Sea of Class 6-1 to go one better next year, 12 Mastar, 25 Kew Gardens, and it's 33, bar that.
And do you agree with your odds compilers there, Paul, that Enable will win next year against in a rematch against Sea of Class?
Well, I'm not sure, Sam. It's going to be very interesting if Sea of Class got a better draw. I disagree with the lads, really. If you've got Lester Piggott and Maureen Haggis telling you that you've got to drop in the race and ride for luck, I think you're going to do it, and it nearly came off. It was a great battle. Well done to Suffolk Supremo, John Gosden. No previous Arc winners won the Arc off just one run, so that was brilliant. And there's not a lot in it between Enable and Sea of Class at the top of the betting for next year.
Yeah, Nick, what's your take on it in a rematch? Enable, Sea of Class. Obviously, Sea of Class will have a lot more weight to carry next year. She won't get that three-year-old filly allowance.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. She really impressed me with Sea of Class, with just how she handled the whole occasion. It didn't faze her at all. Like I said, it was a much bigger field, completely different test really for her than what she's been used to in this country, where it's been easy for her to come from last to first, you know, because you don't get half as many traffic problems in 8-9 runner fields as you would do in a field twice that size. So, you know, she really looked as though she'd come of age, and I might give her the nod over Enable next year. It's hard enough to win two. It's virtually impossible to win three, as Trev found out. And you know, she's got a killer turn of foot, Sea of Class, to get from where she did to almost overhauling Enable, and she was in front past the line, you know, tremendous. And you would think, you know, she's still lightly raced, so there should be more improvement in her next year. I might be inclined to take her over Enable.
That said, though, on Racing Post ratings, this Enable's win was the worst Arc winning performance for the last 10 years. Does that come as a surprise to you?
No, but on the other, it's slightly misleading as well, though, isn't it? Because we all know the build-up that she had to the race. We all know she was overcoming a long-term injury. Like I said, you wouldn't normally prep a horse with just one run on the all-weather a month before you go to a race as big as the Arc. So RPRs, for me, don't really count in this instance, because you've just got to give the horse enormous credit for still having the class to get the job done, despite all the handicaps that she's had. So she's a few pounds off her best. I don't care about that. She got it done, and that's what you can say for it. You know, she's made of, you know, she's not just a brilliant filly, but she's got toughness as well.
And Tom, what's your take on it? Who'd win the rematch?
Tricky one. I think Sea of Class would win if they rode her differently. I think that RPRs do have do tell an interesting story, Nick. I think what they're trying to say is that the general standard of the race, not Enable's performance, we all know Enable wasn't at her best, but the general standard of the race wasn't up to much this year. And I agree with that. I really do. I think bar the front four, who finished first four, you know, they'd all got good Group 1 winning form. I thought it was a bit of a mishmash of horses in behind them. I think when I looked at the race on the Saturday, it was really hard to find anything out of the ordinary. Maybe obviously Cloth of Stars was a big price, it turned out, on the day, but out of the ordinary to come and beat the first four. So I do think that Racing Post ratings tell a story. I do think it wasn't a great race. Having said that, it was a fantastic spectacle, as it always is, the Arc, and it would be fantastic to watch the two of them in action again. I'd probably go for Sea of Class, because I don't think she has to be ridden like that. I don't know why they keep on doing it. There was all the furore after the Irish Oaks about what a brilliant ride it was. Well, it came back to bite them, I think, because that's they got that idea in their heads that was the way the horse has to be ridden. Good horses don't have to be ridden like that. She could have travelled easily in midfield on Sunday, and I think she's better than she showed. And it was just, I don't know. Look, that you do what you do, and it comes back afterwards. But I think it was the one that got away for me.
And just a word on Enable, odds on now for the Breeders' Cup turf. You have to go back an awfully long time to find an Arc winner that's
bad price that,
that's
Sam.
Won again. Yeah,
bad price that. Surely odds on for a Breeders' Cup turf where it could be firm ground, she could be drawn in trap 12. Oh no, I wouldn't be looking at that right now. I mean, look, she's fantastic superstar filly, isn't she? Two Arcs and Oaks and King George, whatever. She's one of the best I've ever seen. But at this page, I think, I don't know, you've got to really desperately need money to be taking 4-6 now.
What about those down the field, Tom? You mentioned it wasn't sort of great strength in depth, but the likes of Cloth of Stars, Capri, Salouin, Kew Gardens, they're all likely to be around again next season. Do you think they're in for some big prizes next year? Or
I think you could perhaps give Capri another shot somewhere, but I don't think he's super, super top class. I think Waldgeist was a bit unlucky. I thought he doesn't have the electric turn of foot of Sea of Class, and maybe the draw compromised him a little bit more than her. I thought Kew Gardens ran an interesting race. I'd be quite interested in him if they went for the Breeders' Cup turf. I don't know if they will. They maybe got some Capri for that or something else, but I thought he ran a good race. Those would be the two I took out of it, but I really, you know, I really couldn't see it. They're much strength in depth in the race, and therefore wouldn't be, you know, I think the three-year-olds will come along next year and they'll be the ones to give those two a race.
Okay, so Nick, any of the beaten horses impress you at all?
I wouldn't say impressed, but Capri, it was much more like it from him, I thought. Bear in mind, he's had an injury-interrupted campaign as well, and was slightly, well, very lacklustre in his reappearance. But as we also know, Aidan's come along, you know, from one run to the next, often hugely. It was much more like it from him. Whether there's anything for him left this season, I don't know. But yeah, he was much more. That was much more like it from him. And
odds, you know, on Enable for the Breeders' Cup.
No, I wouldn't be keen on her for a few reasons. A, as Tom said, the chance of maybe getting firm ground, and the fact that I think they put all their eggs in the Ark basket this season, and you know they've done it and they've got away with it, and with the interrupted campaign, with the hold up they had between Kempton and Longchamp. So you know, I would stick rather than twist on that one, but. Just John Gosden obviously won't have any regrets because he won the race, but I wonder if Anthony Oppenheimer will, because they looked as though there was enough cut in the ground there for Cracksman to be completely effective. And, you know, he's probably going to go to stud having never run in an Arc de Triomphe. And, you know, we could be talking about him just as easily today as we could have been about Enable, but he never got the chance.
Yeah, well said. We'll be looking at the rest of the action at Longchamp and Newmarket over the weekend right after this.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new, fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
So welcome back. Time now to look at the Arc Day undercard. We'll start off with the Abbe. Nick, Mab's Cross avenged that Nunthorpe defeat. Victory there. What did you make of it?
It's a funny race, the Abbe. I like it as a contest, but as a spectacle, it's dreadful. How can you run a Group 1 race on such a big card like that? Running up that strip in the middle of Longchamp where nobody can particularly see it. The horses are in the distance. You don't really get an idea until the last few strides who might be in front. And, you know, I'm sure Michael Dodds and the owners of Mab's Cross don't care a jot about that. You know, they've got a Group 1 in the bag, and fair play. I did think on first glance when they went past the post at York, when they flashed past, I thought she'd won that day, and she just got touched off. So it's just rewards for her. And as Tom will know, I always say that I'm famously forgiving with horses, but I've got to say, I think Batash is finally on my swerve list now. You know, I've made excuses for him in the past, and, you know, he bounced back at Shanty last season and put up a great performance. Having run badly in the Nunthorpe, came here this time with an identical preparation, couldn't get the job done. He's plateaued for me this season. And whereas, because he's a year older, I thought he might progress, and as he calms down, he might mature more and sweep all before him this season. You think of his three big tests at Ascot, York and the Abbey, and he's flunked all of them. So, yeah,
he's
Batash.
One of those. He looks brilliant at Group 2. Absolute superstar, doesn't he?
But yeah, but then he looked brilliant in this race last season, and that was Group 1 level. But, you know, maybe finally his temperament is getting the better of him, but he's plateaued, and he's not one that I would be following in big sprints for next season.
Okay, Tom, what did you make of the Abbey?
Oh, blimey, the Abbey's such a hard race to decipher always, the Abbey. I thought, it seemed to me, and I've only watched it a couple of times and saw it on the video there, that they went probably a bit too quick, didn't they, Mab's Cross, not Mab's Cross, Batash, Soldier's Call and the other ones. And they sort of set it up for the closers, didn't they, Gold Vibe, Mab's Cross. I thought the two-year-old ran an absolute blinder myself. I thought he ran an absolute screamer. I love it when two-year-olds run in races like that. I think it provides a different aspect, a different sort of strand of thought form to the race. It provided a context to how good the sprinting two-year-olds were. And I was delighted to see Soldier's Call run such a good race. Little bit disappointed he couldn't hold on, because as Nick says, half a furlong out, a furlong 10 yards out, probably after the line, I thought he might have won. Who knows who really won? I'd like to see the photo, but I thought Soldier's Call ran an excellent race. Mabs Cross deserved it, didn't she? She's third in the third at Royal Ascot, second in the Nunthorpe. She deserved the big one. And what can you say about Michael Dodds? Not only was he winning there, he's, you know, he's just about the best trainer of sprinters in the world, isn't he? I mean, intense focus at Ascot on Saturday, Mabs Cross, all those other ones that he's had down the years. Brilliant training performance again, and fully deserved for a small yard who does exceptionally well.
Yeah, Paul, are there any future targets mentioned for Mabs Cross Champions Day or Breeders' Cup or anything like that?
Well, we did cut Mabs Cross into 7 from 12 for the British Champions Sprint Stakes. Sam, I'd probably advise punters to hold off on that because Michael Dodds was saying the horse is an out-and-out 5-furlong animal. So I'm not quite sure where we'll see him next. I thought it was a superb ride by Gerald Moss, who came late, as he did on Whiz Kid, to beat the owner's Mason in 2012. And the owner told him to do that on Sunday. A superb ride by Gerald. But as I say, I'm not quite sure where we'll see Mabs Cross next.
Yeah, and looking at some of the other Group 1s on the card, One Master won the foray. I mean, he'd been getting beaten in Group 3s through the summer and then comes out, wins a fairly messy-looking Group 1. What did you make of it, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing you'd say in One Master's favour, if you look back through her form, she came good around this time last year. So maybe, you know, the kind of time when she comes to the fore, and Haggis said she enjoyed the soft ground there. Thoughts of Dance Lot ran quite an interesting race as well. I think maybe he's not quite finished for this season. I think he finished 5th, you know, from a long way back. Didn't quite get there. I don't know. I found the supporting races is always interesting to watch and you know, good fun. But in terms of what it meant for the future, I'm not sure the two-year-old races were fantastic. To be honest, I'm sure we'll get more clues for the classics coming from Newmarket this weekend than we did yesterday. The performance I did like was Wild Illusion, who's, you know, was quite authoritative, I thought, in her race, the Opera. And, you know, they've really found her niche there at a mile and two. You know, she's in the kind of, you know, near the front or at the front with a furlong to go. She's so strong to the line because she probably does stay a bit further, really. I mean, obviously, Oak second, but they've dropped her back, and she's just so strong at the end of her races at a mile and two. She's really come to the fore, and she's one I hope she stays in training next season, and because I think she's, you know, she can win more races at the top level.
Yeah, but I think they mentioned the Breeders' Cup filly and mare turf as her next target. Paul, what price would she be for that?
Well, we went 11-4 joint favourite immediately after the race. Sam, she's now clear favourite for that at 11-4. Sea of Glass 3-1, 4-1, Sister Charlie 6-bar. But it was good to see Wild Illusion come back like that. She was very well backed in the Oaks and just continues Charlie Appleby's fine season.
Yeah, have you got Lawrence priced up for the filly and mares race?
Yeah, Lawrence is in the betting there as well, Sam. 6-1 after her superb win in the Sun Chariot on Saturday. That's the first show for her. And we've also got Lawrence in the Breeders' Cup Mile, Sam. In that one, she's 5 from 8. So a couple of possible targets for Lawrence. And it'll be interesting to see where Cole Burke, who is another trainer having a fine season, well, which race they actually aim her at.
Yeah, Tom, it's time for your weekly praise of Carl Burke now. Yet another Group 1 win on the board this weekend with Lawrence.
Amazing, amazing, isn't he? Yeah, keeps doing it. She was incredibly tough again, wasn't she? The thing about her is that, unlike Sia Class, she gives herself the best chance of winning every race she runs in. Now, Sia Class obviously wins lots of races, but I just like horses like that. She's just totally straightforward, puts her head down, tries, and gets her due rewards. Yeah, she's fantastic. Massive fan of her and her trainer.
Would you go Breeders' Cup Mile or filly and mare up against Wild Illusion?
I'd go filly and mare myself. I think that's the race for her. I think she stays very well. I think ground will be an issue for Wild Illusion. I think she wants it some cut in the ground. I think, as I said about Enable, if it was really quick out there, and it can get quick out there, I think that would be massively against Wild Illusion. I prefer Magic Wand, actually, of the two that ran in the Opera on Saturday. I think she's crying out for fast ground, has been all year. And I think, you know, a mile and a quarter round, I don't even know where it is, Santa Anita? Guessing this year would be perfect for her. So I'd go against the milers myself and go up to the mile and a quarter and stay within your own sex group.
Mm-hmm. And what did you make of the two-year-old winners on the card, Lily's Candle and Royal Marine, Tom?
I totally agree with what Nick said. I thought it was really, to me, Sam, it looked like the track has issues at Longchamp. If I don't know, you Nick, did you see the foray? Oh my God, I've never seen kickback like it. It was like it was one of those stock car state, races.
That's why I kind of I should have mentioned earlier in reference to Sir Dancelot. He had all of that going in his face going around the home turn. I don't think he enjoyed it at all. So
it was like a stock car race, wasn't it? Where do you remember the old days where you used to watch Grandstand and they couldn't see where they were going and everything was they're all crashing into everything. That's what it looked like to me. It was. And I think the trainers kept their best horses away, really, and therefore the two-year-old races were pretty weak. I think there's an issue. Andrea Orsini on Saturday was saying that the ground was really patchy, some fast, some slow. After 2 days racing on it, it really did take a turn for the worse by the time the foray came around. And I don't know. I wouldn't. You know, we got some very odd results with the Boussac, the foray, to name but two. And I think that was ground related. I think there's going to be lots of horses that didn't act on the ground at Longchamp because of the condition of it.
And so Royal Marine, we're not thinking Guinness Derby.
No, not at all. Not for me.
Okay. Just looking at the rest of the weekend's action then, Nick, any standout performances for you? Any names for the horse tracker?
There were a couple of good performances at Ascot, weren't there? I thought the Cumberland Lodge winner, Larabe.
Ground
had gone a bit, but it will tend to at this time of year. So, you know, he's one you'd have on your radar between now and the end of the season because he seems to relish the soft ground. Raising Sand was very impressive.
Draw advantage wasn't there at Nick on Saturday?
Yeah, no, I think you're right, there was.
I don't think anyone could have spotted that before the meeting, could they? But I think apart from the fillies race where they all went up the far side, every single race was won by the two highest stalls.
It was just one of those days, wasn't
it? It was, wasn't it?
It just rained incessantly all
day. I agree, loads
of withdrawals, and it just changed the complexion of all the races completely, bar the Cumberland Lodge, which had a small field anyway.
Yeah, I think those people who got stuck in the morning probably didn't realise what was going to happen in the afternoon. But I thought, as Nick says, it turned into a bit of a funny day. But I agree with him entirely about Larabe. If you're asking for my one, I thought the two-year-old race at Newmarket before the filly and mares race was quite a good one, Sam. It was a couple of seconds slower than Lawrence, but you'd expect that being a two-year-old sort of novice race. I thought Turgenev sort of won with plenty in hand, but I liked Il Paradiso, the second horse. It's Aidan O'Brien Galileo horse that I think is going to step up to a mile and a half next year. He's obviously got a long way to go, but we all know that these O'Brien two-year-olds can take a massive leap forward in a short space of time. So if I was putting one in my tracker today, it would. Well, I have. I did put one in my tracker today. It was Il Paradiso who ran in the second race at Newmarket on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt be popping up in a Derby trial early next season. I'd have thought for him. Paul, for you, any names for the horse tracker?
Yeah, I still really like this Aidan O'Brien horse, Broom Sam, who finished second to Royal Marine. I think that was a good performance. Only just beaten a neck. He was second to a Kevin Prendergast horse called Mad Moon at Leopardstown before that, and I'm pretty sure that this fellow will win a Group 1 at some stage during his career.
Okay, confident words there from Paul Binfield. Up next, we'll be looking ahead to the Fillies Mile, the Dewhurst and the Cesarewitch.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
So welcome back. Time now to look ahead to the action this weekend. We'll start off with Friday's card at Newmarket. The feature race, the Fillies Mile. Not a bad recent roll of honour on this, Nick. Lauren's Rhododendron Minding, the last three winners. It looks a pretty high class renewal again this time around.
Yeah, it does, and I'm very keen to be with Pretty Pollyanna. I don't think she was given the best ride last time. We sat here recently, I think this time last week, and talked about the ride. It's interesting, I noted today on the Racing Post website that Danny Tuthope, his name is next to Pretty Pollyanna, which is quite interesting. I just think this filly is a staying filly. I know she's got Oasis Dream as a sire, but if you look through the downside, it goes back to user-friendly. So one of the good Bill Gredley lines, and user-friendly, of course, St. Ledger winner, amongst many other races during a three-year-old career, and she was all about stamina. Oasis Dream does get stamina horses. He got Midday, who was good over middle distances, so I don't think 6 furlongs. And the way she was ridden last time saw her to best effect whatsoever. I think the step up to a mile is all in her favour. And the fact that they're having another go suggests they're just writing off the Cheveley Park last time.
Michael Bell said that pretty much straight after the race.
And the fact that she makes such a quick turnaround indicates to me that all is fine, all is well with the horse. They just weren't maybe totally happy with the way she was ridden. She will be a stamina-based filly, I think, for next year. I'm sure she'll be an Oaks horse, but for this time in her two-year-old season, a mile is perfect for her. Just want them to be positive on her and make the most of that, because I think her stamina will come to the fore. It's a hunch, because she has got speed on the sire side, but on the dam side, I think it's all stamina.
What's the latest betting for this, Paul?
Well, we make Aidan O'Brien's Just Wonderful 3-1 favourite, Sam. Then it's 7-2 Antonio de Vega, 4-1 Hermosa, 9-2 Zagitova, 6 Pretty Pollyanna for Nick Watts, 10-1 Shambolic, and it's 16-1 Bar.
6-1 Pretty Pollyanna. Does that seem a big price to you, Tom?
Yeah, it seems like a massive price because she's got much the best form, Sam. There's obviously doubts about the trip. I agree with Nick. I think she'll have no problem with a mile. The one I don't get is Antonio de Vega at 7-2. Wouldn't back her at 17-2. I don't know where that's come from. She's won both her races, but the form of her Goodwood race, I mean, it couldn't work out worse, basically. I mean, all the horses behind her have been thrashed synced. I think Magnetic Charm might have run well behind Fleeting at Doncaster, but she was beaten a long way again. I don't get that price. I think Aidan O'Brien is obviously incredibly dangerous in those races. Hermosa will love the step up to a mile. Whether she's quite good enough, I don't know. But Just Wonderful's was good the other day. I don't know where that came from, because she'd been a bit disappointing prior to the Rockfell.
It's so hard this year to weigh up the O'Brien two-year-olds, isn't it?
Couldn't agree more. They're in and out of form. Look at all these fillies running in this race. They've lost more races than they've won. You know, all of his fillies running in the race, Zagitova, Peachtree, Pink Dogwood, just Wonderful, Hermosa. They've all been beaten more than they've won. And you're sort of sitting there thinking, well, is this one any good? And one of them will be very good. They just will be. But choosing which one it's going to be, and that's, I don't know what Ryan Moore's done to annoy them, but he always seems to be on the wrong one these days, isn't he? I mean, it's so hard because we don't, my guess, I don't know, Paul know the Irish scene more than me, but I guess they don't know which is the best one often in these two-year-old races at the moment. And so for us to try and guess which one it is at this stage is really, really tricky. For me, I'm with Nick. I think Pretty Pollyanna's the best filly in the race. And if she stays the trip, and I'm a massive Danny Tubhope fan, I think she'd be hard to beat.
And Paul, what would be your bet in the race at this stage?
Well, Tom's already said about Hermosa. I'm going to guess that is the Aidan O'Brien one in this race. As he's already said, it's tricky, isn't it? Up to a mile will suit her. She's been very good over 7 furlongs. She won the Group 3 World Park Stakes nicely last month at Nace. And I think some of these Aidan O'Brien two-year-olds, it is tricky because a lot of them are by Galileo and they just seem to keep improving throughout the season. And Hermosa ticks a lot of boxes for me.
Okay, well, talking of Aidan O'Brien two-year-olds, let's look at the Dewhurst now. 8 of the 12 runners trained by the master of Ballydoyle. But, Paul, he won't have the favourite. Too Darn Hot. Pretty hot for this.
Yeah, very hot, Sam. Too Darn Hot, even money. 3-1 Sangarius with William Buick booked to ride that one. 5-1 Anthony Van Dyke and 10 Sovereigns. 7 Advertised, 14 Mohawk, and it's 25-1 Bar.
And who wins, Paul?
Well, Too Darn Hot has been awfully impressive, hasn't he, Sam? You know, he's a short price for the Guineas and the Derby next year. He'll be difficult to beat. But one horse that I do love, and he's pretty obvious as he's second in the betting, but Sangarius, thought he was really good at Doncaster last time, and he's in the right ownership. And he could give Too Darn Hot a very good race.
I mean, we've talked about Too Darn Hot on the postcast before, Tom. Doubts about the track, Newmarket, for him?
I would have said so, given that John Gosden made a point of saying Larty Dar didn't like the track, and I can't remember if So Raimi, or whatever it was called, one round there. Maybe she did. I would have been worried about him on fast ground. It won't be fast ground now, will it? It's good to soft at the moment. Although, having said that, it's supposed to be 25 degrees or something this week, so it will dry out there, and it does dry out pretty quickly at Ascot. So my guess is it won't be too soft. I think he'll be fine on it, really. I can I'm the master of overcomplication, as everyone knows, and I will probably end up trying to take him on grounds like that. But the real reason I'll take him on is because he'll be odds on against loads of horses with ones by their name, who come with different strands of form. I still think Anthony Van Dyke is a very good horse. I think he bumped into a really good one in Corto at Kukurra last time. And with Binners, I think Sangaris is very good. It'd be interesting to see if 10 Sovereign steps up. I would be doubtful, but they've got him in here.
What about Advertise?
I don't think he's good enough. No, I thought Calix won that race, you know, had it shot to pieces miles out. And I think bar him, the ones on the far side, they're all much and muchness, isn't he? He just beat Van Beethoven or whatever it was called. Sergei Prokofiev, wasn't it? And he's not done anything for the form. A few of them around haven't done much for the form. I just think Calix had to go on his near side and beat his side by so far that it might have flattered him a bit. I didn't think he was quite as impressive at the Curra last time. What he will like is the step up to 7 furlongs, and so perfect. Didn't do too much did something for the form the other day in the Cheveley Park, didn't she? So I'd give him a shot, but I think he's too short a price.
And Nick, what's your take on the race?
I don't think 10 Sovereigns will run. I know they've left him in, but I'd be amazed if he ran, to be honest, because he's done quite a lot in a very short space of time, and he wasn't hugely impressive when he won last time at Newmarket either. So I think he's probably done enough for now. I think Anthony Van Dyke will be the one they go with. No, I don't think they can. And, you know, I'd have a few concerns on fast ground around Newmarket for Too Darn Hot, you know, particularly with an eye on next April, where, you know, you're more likely to get, you know, a fast surface, I think, than you are at the moment. Because I looked at my Country Fire weather for the week last night on BBC One, and there's plenty of rain around for the weekend.
I didn't see that.
I know there's some good temperatures in the week, but towards the end of the week, Saturday, Sunday, there's, you know, looks like quite a lot of wet weather blowing in. So I don't think that'll be an excuse for Too Darn Hot. I thought last time was his most impressive performance, actually, because it's, you know, I know visually he was good at Sandown the time before in the Solario, and the horses he beat were good, but I thought he was asked quite a big question at Doncaster, because it turned out he was following the wrong horse. They thought it was the right horse, the Johnston one, but he was off his game that day completely, and because Frankie was following him, it left him with quite a lot of ground to make up. But he didn't just make it up. He got to the front very, very fast indeed, and went away and won. I think he beat the Aiken winner, Charlie Hills' horse, Phoenix of Spain, very comfortably. So I thought there was a lot to take from that. And if they do get, you know, enough dig in the ground that it's nice and forgiving for him, then I think he is the one they've all got to beat. He's the two-year-old that's impressed me most this season. And, you know, I just love watching him race. I love, you know, seeing two-year-olds like that, you know, really not just win cosily, but they really stamp their authority on the race. They like to win by long distances. And, you know, I always remember Frankel as a two-year-old. That's what they like to do with him. You know, don't just go and win by half a length on the bridle. Go and show your superiority and win 4 or 5 and, you know, really show your class. And that's what he's been doing. So I love to watch him.
Yeah. But next year, does he strike you as the Guineas winner?
Well, it's funny. I read the article in the week where John Gosden was saying he doesn't know if he's a Derby horse, but I'd be stunned if he's not a Derby horse. I can't believe that he wouldn't stay a Derby trip. He's by Dubarry, who I think finished third in a Derby. His dam won the Yorkshire Oaks amongst many other races. If he doesn't have the stamina and his pedigree to win a Derby, I'd be absolutely amazed. And I think that's just Gosden dampening down speculation about him, really.
Okay, well, the big betting race of the weekend is the Cesaro Rich. Paul, let's start off with you. The show of betting and your early fancy for the race.
The Cesaro Rich, we have 6-1 favourite Stratham, 10-1 Low Sun, 12 Here and Now, Limony, Southern France, V, and it's 14-1 the rest.
And who's your early fancy for it, Paul?
Well, I always like the jumps trainers in this race, and Alan King. He's got a few in there actually, but Just in Time is the one I like. I'm really impressed by the way he won the Mallard handicap at Doncaster last time. And Alan King in this race brings back fond memories of Grometti winning it in 2015 for my friend and flamboyant owner, Max McNeil.
Very good. Tom, Early thoughts on the Cesarewitch?
Well, Watsy won't be here on next week, Sam, because he's going to have the old Orton double, isn't he? Because he's told us all for weeks now that Low Sun's going to win. I think he might be onto something. I think Willie Mullins is definitely going to win the race. He's got about seven in there. I'm a bit of a fan of Uradel if he runs as well. But I can't see past Mullins. I think Cleonte for Andrew Balding might run well, but Willie Mullins is mustered in these races these days, and I wouldn't be looking any further than him. The problem is, I think he's got about six in there.
Yeah, trying to work out Mullins is as hard as Aidan O'Brien at this time of year, isn't
it? Yeah.
We're used to this kind of puzzle in March, aren't we? You know, it reads like a Coral Cup market at the moment with Mullins having, you know, five or six chances in it. And, yeah, I mean, Tom's right. Low Sun is the one that I kind of earmarked for this race. He's kind of crept up on me a little bit, and he won a handicap hurdle for Mullins at a big price in the spring. Katie O'Farrell rode him, and I think it's 25-1, might have been even bigger than that. But, you know, shown that, you know, to be no fluke since then, and won a 2-mile handicap at the Curra in the summer. And he's just a dour stayer. And they put him back to a mile and a half last time at Bellewstown, and he finished sixth. I wouldn't pay much attention to that. I think that was just fine tuning. And I think 2 miles to Newmarket marathon trip. I think he's got a lot in his favour. But that said, Mullins, as Tom alluded to, he's got plenty. I don't know if he's planning to run Chelcar, for example. He really caught my eye behind Lagos to Vegas when he ran at Ascot. Wasn't sighted at Galway after that, but I'd be interested if he ran. I don't know what kind of price he is. But if I had to pick one between the Mullins Brigade, I'd nailed my colours to Low Sun's Mast a few weeks ago. So I'm going to stick with that.
Wise move. We'll be back again on Friday. Well, Bruce will be back again on Friday, looking ahead in a bit more detail to the weekend's action. But from me, Nick, Tom and Paul, that's all for today. If you do enjoy these shows, do rate, review and subscribe, whatever platform you're listening to us on. We'll also be back on Wednesday with the Golf Postcast, Thursday with the football, and Maddie will be back next Monday for another racing review.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.